Hello and welcome to Starter Set. My name is Ed Sylvester. This is
Ollie Sylvester.
Hello, Ollie, and welcome to the show that rewrites myths and legends. There we are. Hello. Hey, Ollie, how are you doing? You right?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. I'm in a different room today, so I might be a little bit echoey, but apart from that,
that's fine.
All good in the proverbial hood. Let's begin, shall we? Because once again, and annoyingly, I might have left another 20 minutes worth of silence on the back of our last episode.
Yes, you did, which I didn't notice. To be fair, I haven't even finished listening to that episode yet. I just didn't get around to listening to it this week to like double check it over. I think there's like a little bit early in where you're like, oh, I'll cut that, and then you've left that in as well. So
brilliant.
You've just done a shit job, Ed.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Basically.
Enough. 10 out of 10 on me doing some editing there. Bugger. Oh well.
It's fine. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. It's all part of the fun.
Yeah, it's all exactly. Well,
anyway. How are you doing, Ollie? You all right?
Yep, I'm fine. Yeah, what's going on at the moment? I'm switching audio recording apps, not apps,
nice.
Programs.
Yeah.
So hopefully I should sound I think I sound a little bit better using this one. Anyway,
hey,
sounds clearer.
That's always a good position to be in.
I think just the general, you know, encoding or whatever is slightly cleaner, so should sound a bit better.
Nice.
For those that want to know, I switched from Audacity, which is cheap and free, to a bit of software called Reaper.
And you don't fear it?
No, it's also free. You have unlimited trial, so you can really get your hands around it.
Yeah,
and
then
it's
if
very,
you want to pay, you can.
Yeah, and I did, to be fair, I have paid in the past, mm-hmm. and I know that I have a key somewhere, but I've just lost it.
Right,
so
okay.
I can't be bothered to rebot it, so I'm just allowing the free version is it's the same thing, so doesn't really matter.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Good. I mean, yeah, you sound pretty good coming through the old headphones. I mean, obviously that's running through Discord, but you know, I'm sure it's going to be tasty. This week's episode, we're not going to be continuing the story this week for two reasons. Number one, we've kind of done the first arc. And with that in mind, I wanted to check in with Ollie and ask him a few questions, get a little bit of thought process around how that all works or how it's been working. So that's reason number one, which is the somewhat bullshit made up reason. Because reason number two is I have yet to kind of figure out how to get from A to B as far as I know where I want the story to go, but I don't know how to get there in an interesting way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically.
That's fine. It happens.
Yeah, so a tiny bit of writer's
block. Bit of writer's block, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, which you know, you deal with, right?
Yeah, I mean, it happens to everyone, and it's also like a real thing that happens to Dungeon Masters, isn't it? Like,
DM burnout.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely a thing. I actually had a old DM this week come back to me. So he was running sessions for us during lockdown, and quite a lot of them actually in the end. And basically, he suffered from DM burnout. Was like, listen, guys, I can't really run these anymore. I don't really know what I'm doing. I've running out of ideas, and we were like, cool, yeah, nice, no worries, nothing, no problems there at all. And he got back in contact this week and was like, so I'm thinking of getting back in the saddle. And we were all like, yay, brilliant, a lot of fun to have a crack on with, which is nice.
That's good.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. Any other D&D stuff happened this weekend?
No, not for me. I've been doing a bit of traveling recently, so it's been... So I've not been around to properly kind of get my head into places. I went to the Isle of Mull, Ollie.
Oh, nice.
Off the
did
west
you get
coast of
some
Scotland.
Mulled wine?
I didn't, but I did make those jokes as well myself.
Well, I was going to say that's a very you thing to say.
No, it's good. It's a lovely place. Weirdly, and this is a side, real like deep cut here. Do you know what's the story Balamori? Remember that show?
Yeah.
So that town is actually a real town in on the Isle of Mull called Tobermory, where they make their own whiskey. And
cool.
We took some pictures in front of those big multicoloured houses.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Oh, yeah, cool.
Which was weird. Yeah. I had no idea until we got there. And I was like, that looks like that old show. Yeah, it is.
Yep. I still remember this. There's the song, isn't there? What's the story? Yeah. Balamori. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, wouldn't you like to know? Yeah. There you go. So that was a really weird experience to figure that that's that place. But yeah, a lot of fun. So no, not much D&Ding on my end, realistically.
That's fine. Same here.
Yeah. You've got your lot of your people are moving, aren't they?
Yep. We're still on our like 2 or 3 week break or whatever. And then the other campaign that we were playing is just kind of like here and there whenever we get a chance. So
nice, fair
enough. Not regularly scheduled.
Okay, cool. Well, look, so you leveled up at the end of last session, didn't you?
Yes, although I haven't done anything to my character sheet.
No, that's okay. Well, I thought we could do that as part of this. So,
of
the checking out and seeing how things are going, I believe... You got dice with you there?
Yep. Do I need the book?
I don't think you need the book.
Okay, cool.
Realistically, right now, it's literally a hit point roll. So let's see how well you do.
Right, let me load my character quick because I'm totally not...
It's Constitution, isn't it, if I remember correctly, which I don't think is much for old Normander.
Let's have a look. Constitution is +2. So
okay, not bad.
Yeah, it's not a bad one. Right, I want my good dice. That's this one.
So D8, Ollie.
A D8.
Bad boy for this.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Oh, shit. Wait there. Let me find a D8.
I love that. Yeah, no, I've got it here. No problem. Oh, bugger. Hang on a second.
Well, so I have 3d20s, 2d6s, nice. And a d4 because it's basically perfect. All I need for damage and rolling everything. So, right, let me find a d8 in my massive dice bag that I have.
Oh, God, that is a big dice bag of stuff.
Christ. Pouring them out.
Oh, good God.
Yep.
That's a fair few.
Okay, right. A D8. What do they look like? Now I've got to find one. Right.
Pyramids. Pyramids on pyramids.
Yep.
That's D10.
That's D10.
Nice try there.
Fuck. How can I not find a D8? What is going on? No, that's a D10. What's that? That's a D12. Right. I actually can't... Oh my god. What am I looking for?
Do you not have...
I must have a dungeon. I must have a D8.
After that huge pour out.
Is that a D8?
Let's have a quick
That's a D8, isn't it? Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, here we are. Right. Oh, nice. Wow. Okay.
I always say reroll ones.
Okay.
So if you've got
well,
one...
that's fucking good because it was a one, yeah. And I can't see another D8 in my pile to change dice, so fuck it.
No, you're going to just have to go with that one.
Okay, 6. I presume I do +2 as well, do I?
Yeah, plus your constitution. Yeah,
6 so plus +2 then. So
that's a nice +8 to your max hit points.
Yeah.
Nice, very good. And we found a D8 for Ollie, which I think comparatively is a much larger achievement after all that.
Right, +8.
Nice.
I'm going to have a look at my old character sheet because I can't remember what my maximum hit points were previously.
Brilliant. Cool. All right. Well, look, that's that side of thing. We've got your hit points rolled, and I think we will finish this episode with a horn blast from yourself, Ollie, because it's a slightly different one, but that's always fun to have a little try.
Sure.
Let's go into a little bit of question time. Question time with Ollie.
Let's go.
So we're in like the first third of the story, right? I think, give or take.
Yep.
How are you finding the one player, one DM experience?
It's different. You have to do everything, basically, is the main thing, which I mean is fucking obvious, isn't it, really? But like, you know, in a party, you can kind of scheme and plan things, whereas I'm trying to scheme and plan with you while you're also kind of being the monsters.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of, if you do something as one of the NPCs that impacts a story enough to make us like avoid something, is that metagaming?
Interesting. So you're questioning your DM's impartiality. Well, is that what's coming there?
Not necessarily, but like, you know, when you're, because obviously there's like the things like the water, that trap last time where it was acidic, right? But obviously I had been like, don't touch the water, which totally fucks that trap, even though it did get me because I rolled shit on my dexterity check. Like, you as a NPC, I suppose this is in normal 5e as well, but it's more because you're playing so many different characters, because obviously there's two companions which you're playing, and then there's me, which is instructing these two companions. And it's like, whether that actually impacts the story or not enough.
Ah, I see. So if you hadn't said don't touch the water, would the followers have gone and touched the water anyway?
Yeah, kind of like, or like, is there that kind of thing.
Yeah, interesting. So, yeah, that's a good question, actually. So the fun thing about that, Ollie, is I had, when we got into that room, I hadn't planned out that that's how that room was going to work at all.
Okay, all right.
So I needed there to be a impact to you cocking up your dex rolls to jump across there, to get across there.
Yeah.
And I needed there to be, and the idea of like touching the water, as you called out, it's like Lord of the Rings, right? And we all, I say we, collectively, a lot of nerds and actually mainstream, it's not even nerdish to know all that sort of stuff. Everybody who has any sort of like popular culture reference knows that scene, don't touch the water stuff, right?
Exactly.
So chucking it in gets a little bit cliche, and I was like, all right, well, how do I change this so it's not that? Which, fine, that all works together. But which is why I made it slightly acidic and made it into a bit of a thing. And then the wave starting is from, so not a creature, it was more that the actual water itself was a sentient thing, right?
Yeah. So, because I was thinking, oh, there's probably going to be like water elementals.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
In there. That was my like thought behind that. And then when it was an actual trap, I thought that was quite cool, because I was like, right, well, the waves are probably just like the tides coming in and out, but then also it could be some
protective malarkey.
Yeah, like just some magic rubbish, magic bullshit.
Yes.
Where it just exactly. Yeah.
And then it also allowed me to place that giantkin there so that you could see that there is other stuff going on in the world, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like we weren't
necessarily the first ones there.
Exactly. We were close to being kind of beaten to the mark, which I expect will probably happen later down the line.
Could do. You never know. You don't know what's going to happen, play out, or anything like that. Yeah. But in answer to your question, I always have the followers, from a DM's point of view, be somewhat subservient to the player.
Right.
So you're not theoretically playing with DM controlled players, because that's not what you want. You want them to be what they are, which is followers, and it's driven by your decisions, Ollie, rather than what they suggest. I mean, they can suggest information, but it's not things that, you know, a lot of the time they will not know stuff and they'll say, I don't know what that is.
Like
for instance, when Cald introduced him to Atcha, the idea that she said, I don't know what that is. What is a Gregauch? And even when she pronounced it wrong the first couple of times.
Mm.
So it's depth of character and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's like playing with separate characters, which is good in terms of like a storyline, and not just like, doesn't feel like just talking to you. It's like actual characters there, which is good.
Nice. Yeah. So what do you think then, and this is your external view, and I want to get this because it's always fun, because if you say it now and then we actually get to the end of what actually happens and all that sort of stuff, that's always good to look past at. Where do you think the story's going and what's going to happen?
I have no idea what the ending will be at all, but in terms of like journey and stuff, I reckon we'll probably get this one, we'll get out of this cave somehow. I think it'll be all right, and then we'll go to the next one. There may be some, I think it'll kind of be like, now we've got this one, right? The giant kin have gone from our town, probably split up, right? One's gone to this one, they didn't get it, so we've grabbed this second eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
The giant kin have probably gone to the other site, they've probably got that one, whichever one that is. I can't remember off the top of my head what the actual items are.
Could be a skull cup or the brooch made from the jawbone.
Right. Yeah, I remember it being loads of body parts.
Yeah,
so they'll have that one, and then I think basically we're both going to meet in the middle.
Interesting.
On the last item, and it might be some kind of like, I don't, well, it's difficult because I don't know how I'm going to get powerful enough to fight them. Because obviously they just fucked everyone up in the town. So whether, I don't know, there's some item or some other weapon or something like a what's the sword?
Vorpal sword.
No, well, kind of same thing. I was thinking of Prince Arthur. You know, he's got
Excalibur.
Yeah. There's that sword that can, you know, deal heavy damage to certain things. Mm-hmm. Something mm-hmm. like that. I don't really know, to be honest. I'm totally a bit lost when it comes to storyline.
Interesting. Okay. Well,
I mean,
that's
I've
fun.
Got
that's
my things. Good. Like, I think I'm just kind of going with the flow with it. I try not to think about the storyline when I'm actually playing it, because I feel like I kind of overthink things, and I try and push my way in that direction in terms of like my role playing wise.
No, that's a good way to take it, and it's fair. Interesting. So at the moment we're just kind of rolling with the punches, I suppose, which is fair actually, because you don't have any real huge context, I suppose, not yet anyway. And we'll see how I drop all that stuff in. I'm quite excited because I know one of the things which is going to be really good. I'm just trying to figure out how we get there. I think I'm going to return to the book and do a lot of reading and see if I can figure out like a, I'm not sure if you need like a new journey. And I think that's what I've got to figure out, because obviously the portent creates the journey. Yeah. So it might be that this actually is the end of that sort of portent. And we'll see how that kind of all comes into play.
Yeah. I was also thinking that, because we've technically done like the entire journey.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. Well, there might be. I want to see what kind of, because obviously the whole point of the character is all the kenning and all the vision,
yeah,
reading
so,
and stuff. How that's going to be brought into it more. So I feel like that's probably going to, now I'm thinking about it, that's probably going to play into the way that I'm decision making or getting directed to things.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Because yeah, so at level 3, Ollie basically gets the ability to literally sort of cast the bones, or to do a bit of future prophesizing potentially, or get some sort of augury, which is similar to the augury spell from standard 5th edition.
I can ask it like, I think in the book it says something like I can get a
vibe
of, yeah, like some advice of to whether what I'm going about to do is good, bad, or like neutral.
Yeah, for sure.
So if it's going to like kill me, then it'll say bad and I'll avoid it.
Completely fine, easy, no problems there.
Yeah, which I feel like that'd be quite fun, because obviously it adds that element of, oh shit, I shouldn't be doing that.
It's nice, easy storytelling as well from a DM's point of view. If you chuck somebody in who has some sort of abilities to loosely perceive good or bad ideas, this is if you need them to get to a specific area. Fortunately, I'm kind of creating the story as we go to a degree. Again, I've talked about this before, but it's I've done the skeleton. I just need to put the flesh on the skeleton. So you being able to do that kind of helps me put the flesh on.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
In a slightly grotesque way. Which is cool. Oh, you've got some questions for me, or I think you said you had some questions for me.
Yeah. I have six, but whether we get through them all or not, I don't know.
Unlikely. Let's blast out two.
Yeah, that's fine.
Top two.
Yeah, okay. I've got two that I want to know, really. I'll start with this one because I quite like it, but also it might be a bit not metagamey, but like if you want to come back to these things, then obviously don't tell me about them.
Sure.
This is a question that says, are there any things that I just kind of skipped over? Because I know sometimes I can just skip over stuff that you particularly as Dungeon Master wanted me to kind of go and explore.
Yeah, okay, cool. No, you have. That is the short answer. You haven't skipped anything, and again, that is because the way that I do this stuff is because I need you to go from like A to B. The pathway between the two of it is pretty
simple,
loosey goosey. Yeah, so anything around it can just be chucked in, like your leather working, like your finding of the
ship.
Yeah, exactly. Finding of the coal, what are they called? Fungus. The coal fungus.
Thingies. Yeah, yeah.
Your knowledge of the plants that we found in the caves, things in the ship, all that sort of stuff. So, no. The easy thing is, really the only place that you could have done that in, realistically, is the town, right? Because the town is as broad as it is. And you can go all over all these other places. And, you know, the only time where we were in danger of basically going off that pathway was still the time where ultimately you spoke to your granddad and he was like, I need you to go and check this out and this is the reason why. And you were like, oh, okay, cool. Right, well, this is the reason why I've got to do this. So as much as you came close to kind of legging it from the town to extract some revenge...
I don't know where this campaign would be if I was just like, yeah, Ed, I'm fucking off right now. Like, see you later.
Well, yeah, exactly. So that's the thing as well. That's the thing with D&D is it's about trust. And all role-playing is it's about trusting that your GM or DM is going to give you enough guidance that you experience the story in the right way. You know, there's... I've been thinking about this recently because you've got tabletop RPGs and then you've also got, you know, RPGs that we have on our computer game RPGs, right?
Yeah.
Which... they go, typically, the possibilities are endless, right? Which could be a tagline from either brands. It could be a tagline from a video game RPG and a tabletop RPG. But ultimately, your experience, that's not true, right? Is it? Because you're going to experience a mainline story that you will go through and experience and that will have story beats that you hit, like...
Yeah,
you can play Skyrim for 120 hours and not touch the mainline story, but the mainline story will always be there.
It's just waiting in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Or like Baldur's Gate or I don't know. I don't even know if... God of War? Is God of War an RPG? Would you say it's an RPG or is it just action?
I wouldn't say it's an RPG.
Yeah.
I've not played it, so I don't know. But from what I've seen of it, it's more kind of like... go here, do this.
Yeah,
go here,
exactly.
Do this. Which, I mean, there's obviously world exploration, and you kind of have to explore to find... In the same way that in the Lara Croft games, there's world exploration.
Yeah,
that you have to find, like, secret things or, like, power-ups or whatever.
They enhance your experience of the middling story.
Yeah. But, I mean, in the same way that kind of... as a when you're playing a tabletop, you are guided by a game master.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas the storyline in the video games, because you can never have like a truly just like do whatever you want video game, because otherwise that would be boring.
Yeah, you need to have limitations because limitations inspire creativity, basically.
That's very deep, profound.
Well, I've done this a long time now, Ollie. Yeah, okay, cool. Well, there's your first question. What's the next one?
Next one is about what's have you found anything what's it like to build a world within Beowulf rather than building a world within normal D&D?
Oh yeah, so the setting stuff.
Yeah, because obviously Beowulf is based on like real world geography.
Yeah, world.
Yeah, and like our world's physical limitations. Whereas D&D can be anything, can't it?
Yeah, it's very so the Beowulf setting is very low magic, very low tech, but high mysticism is what I think I've kind of come to know it as. Because when we started this out with Sam and started playing it that way, still trying to figure out what that looks like, how that all worked, the idea of magic and how that works and the influence of magic and monsters should have, I think the monsters should all have magic, because I think that's like monsters and myths, right, is more the vibe. So it's not Dungeons and Dragons, but it is monsters and myths,
because yeah.
That's where you get your fantastical pieces. Otherwise, it's just live, try and survive in a bit of a crap time where we don't have running water and food's difficult to find. So the monsters should have magic. It shouldn't be like pew, laser bolts and all that sort of magic. It should feel more
it's like guttural. Organic.
Yeah, exactly. Like it should look more like blood magic and having, you know, drawing your circles on the floor and stuff that we use still and people still use, like tarot cards and bones and things like that have more of a druidic kind of sense.
Yeah, like old, what's it called? Celt, like what the Celts did. It is druidism.
Paganism,
yeah.
So that, but the magic actually works, I think, is the best way to describe it. Which is why you've got, you know, which is why you're a Kenner, and I think with what you know, I'd quite like to do a little. Eventually, we'll figure this out, but I think I'd like to give you some magical thing. Like I think you can have magic in terms of. And we've seen this. We've seen it in terms of like religious magic, and in the series one, where we had a creature who, you know, was given intelligence, and then also could theoretically have a solid connection enough with the new church to create through prayer an impact on something.
Yeah.
In the same way that vice versa in the old Colonel.
Yeah, that's kind of it's not like magic. It's like what's it called when something happens that you can't explain and it's good? I've totally... My head's empty.
You blanked on it.
Yeah, I've totally blanked on it.
That's fine. A miracle?
It's like a miracle. Yeah, that'll do.
Cool. Yeah, nice. We'll run it as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but that in itself, I think, actually means that you can start to really lean into like base things that humans think about. Like when you look over like a vista, and there are mountains, but there's also fogs and things like that, and you can imagine how people used to think of spirits of a lake or spirits of a water river crossing, and how those need to be satiated and. The idea of giants in the mist, if you hear thunder in across the seas, like those, that could be the gods. And the natural world becomes much more magical in itself and mystical. And I think that's the thing that you can lean into with this setting.
Yeah. And also there's that fear, like back in the day when it was foggy out, that would be a scary thing. Whereas now we're like, oh, it's fog. Who gives a crap? Like, it's just a bit of cloud, isn't it? Whereas back then, that was a big deal.
Chuck your lights on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just put your fog lights on and drive through it. Whereas back then, you'd be like, oh, where's the path? Are we going to get ambushed? There's all this fear that comes with it that makes it more mythical or mysterious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the nice thing about the setting. Although it does make me want to at some point like really dive into the Eberron setting, because that's so far the other side of things where magic is... magic and like ridiculousness is so ramped up that you can kind of really go a little bit overboard with it. Not that I've really thought about how that will work or anything like that, and it's not something I would do as a show, because there are people out there doing it better. But I just like that setting, and it's kind of, as with anything, whenever I go one way, I also kind of then go like, okay, I've done a bit of that. Let's go extreme the other way and figure that direction, stuff out.
Yeah,
because it can inform each way for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, look, that's kind of, I think that's good in terms of like a little mini episode, just to get a little stopgap of where we are. We'll be back next week with full story. I will make sure that this gets edited in a way where there's not 20 minutes on the back end of it. Fucking hell, that's so annoying. Ollie, do you want to play us out with a lovely horn blast?
Let me grab the horn.
Grab the horn.
Grab the horn. Right. Again, I haven't practiced this week, so we'll see.
Here we go.
It's like a little fart, that one. It's like a little fart.
Lovely stuff. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.